Welcome to Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, on blogtalkradio.com, or on my website, danschlossberg.net. My special guest tonight, and we're so glad to have her, in the 323rd episode of Travelitch Radio, is Clem Goldberger of the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Welcome, Clem, to Travelitch Radio.
Thank you, Dan. I'm so happy to be back.
Well, as I said, we're really pleased to have you. And I love the World War II Museum. I've been there many times, and it keeps getting bigger and better. If you had a full week to spend there, you still couldn't see everything. You have a long official title, but that's because of the long list of things you do for the museum. So please share, Clem.
Well, I'm the Senior Specialist for Development and External Affairs, but to keep it simple, I'm an ambassador for the museum.
Well put, well put. We're only a month away from the 75th anniversary of the longest day. On June 6, 1944, the Allies landed on the beaches of Normandy to begin Operation Overlord, the invasion of Nazi-occupied Europe. I know the museum has lots of special plans for D-Day, for example, two learn-as-you-go cruises. So could you please elaborate on some of the things that are going on to celebrate this big anniversary?
Well, we do have many things going on both sides of the Atlantic. You mentioned the cruises, and we have two ships. One is completely booked, but there still are a few cabins available on the second ship. So if your viewers, your listeners are interested, I'd say right after this show, go to our website or call us first thing in the morning and see about those D-Day 75 cruises.
Okay, so why don't you give the website and the phone number right now?
It's nationalww2museum.org, and I should have had that phone number right by my side. I apologize that I don't, but go to that website, and it'll be handy for you right there.
Our listeners could Google it as well, right?
Indeed.
Okay, and there's a book coming out, too, called Everything We Have, by the President Emeritus of the Museum. And it features images from the museum's collection and much more. So please tell us about that, Clem.
Well, Dr. Nick Mueller, who co-founded the museum with Stephen Ambrose and has just moved up from president to president emeritus, has written a book that's really a must-have for any World War II enthusiast. It tells the personal stories of those who were involved in D-Day in their own words, and some of these will be seen for the first time. These are rare insights. It will show you artifacts from our collection. And the title comes from Eisenhower's quote from just before D-Day when he said, "This operation is planned as a victory. We're going over there. We're throwing everything we have into it, and we're going to make it a success."
At the museum itself, 3 days of programming will include films, discussions, performances, and such activities as tours of the museum's original exhibit, the D-Day Invasion of Normandy. All of that starts June 4th and runs through June 6th. Is that right?
Yes. We have two film premieres, one of which is the museum's own production. It's a documentary on the bridge at La Fierre, which was described as the bloodiest small unit struggle in the experience of American arms. And then on June 6th itself, we start at 6:30 in the morning with an H-hour ceremony, and we go all day with a special parade of veterans. We have Marine band performances, veterans panel discussions, and other commemorations. We have performances by our own Victory Big Band, the Victory Bells, your favorite group. Conclude in the evening with a screening of The Longest Day.
Wow, it is going to be a long day starting starting at 6:30 a.m. It is going to be a long day for
it
everyone
is.
There.
And it's also the museum's birthday because we opened on June 6, 2000. So, of course, we've got to have red, white, and blue cupcakes to celebrate our own birthday.
Oh, that sounds pretty good, too. And tell us about the special art exhibition by a former French commando.
Yes, his name was Guy de Montelauer. He was a French fine art painter who fought the Nazis as a French infantryman on several battlegrounds, including Sword Beach on D-Day. And he carried shrapnel wounds in his face, but he also carried what we now call PTSD. He carried those emotional wounds throughout his life, and it's reflected in his artwork. So it's a fascinating exhibit, and it will be up for 8 more months. So many opportunities for visitors to come see that at the museum.
And listeners, we're talking with my longtime friend Clem Goldberger of the National World War II Museum. Clem, what is the electronic field trip? That sounds intriguing.
It is for all ages, Dan. The museum has a very robust distance learning program. You know, museum experiences are no longer limited to the brick-and-mortar walls of a museum. And on D-Day, we will stream a live interactive journey into the experience of D-Day, guided by student reporters from the United States, England, and France. More than 100,000 classrooms around the world will embark on a virtual transatlantic adventure to discover the lessons and the legacy of Operation Overlord. And this isn't the only electronic field trip that we have available. Others are archived on our website. We have one called Fighting for the Right to Fight, about the experiences of minority servicemen and what it was like for them to fight against discrimination and fascism abroad and then come home to a segregated society. We have one on Pearl Harbor. So, again, I encourage your listeners to go explore the museum website, nationalww2museum.org. It is interactive and rich and fascinating.
Clem, this might be the last major D-Day anniversary for D-Day veterans. Do you expect to host some of them? I'm sure some of them are coming to the museum.
Oh, yes. We will have D-Day veterans, those who are still up to undertaking a transatlantic voyage. Many of those are going to actually be on the cruise ships, but we do expect to have some with us in New Orleans, and certainly a number of other World War II veterans, even if they weren't at D-Day, will have a number of World War II veterans with us to commemorate this very important anniversary.
And, of course, Memorial Day comes up before D-Day. That's May 27th this year. What's happening at the museum for Memorial Day?
Well, of course, Memorial Day is a bit more solemn because it's the occasion that we take to remember and honor the servicemen and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our freedom. And we'll begin the day with a performance by the Marine Concert Band, followed by a commemoration ceremony. And then in the afternoon at 3 p.m., we will join the National Moment of Silence in memory of those fallen veterans.
Are veterans of D-Day also coming on Memorial Day?
We hope so. I don't have an exact count on that, but we certainly will welcome them and all veterans and indeed everyone who wants to honor our fallen veterans and active duty service people as well.
Okay. Are veterans admitted free on those days?
Well, World War II veterans are admitted free every day, and other veterans from other eras, as well as active duty service personnel, receive considerable discounts.
Do they need to wear uniform or no?
No, they need to let us know that they are members of the armed forces.
Okay, we're talking with Clem. Yeah, okay. We're talking with
Clem
Goldberger of the National World War II Museum. Clem, since the museum officially began as a National D-Day Museum, the 75th anniversary of that event must be a very big deal to longtime staffers at the museum. How did the museum transition from the D-Day Museum to the World War II Museum?
The museum opened in 2000 as the D-Day Museum, as you said, and the response was immediate and tremendous. The U.S. Congress noted this, and they called upon us to expand our mission and tell the entire story of World War II beyond just the amphibious invasions. So they honored us with the designation of America's official World War II Museum. And we followed by changing the name to the National World War II Museum. And we've been building and growing ever since. We've gone from one building to a campus spanning three city blocks and five pavilions, and one more on the way. So we are now telling the entire story of World War II, every campaign, every battle, every hero.
You said one more on the way. What is it and when?
Well, that is the Liberation Pavilion, and we hope to break ground on that within the year. But this fall, in October through December, we have three grand openings on the horizon. October, we will be opening the Higgins Hotel and Conference Center, which is a spectacular Art Deco design hotel property. It's directly across the street from the museum, and it's going to be a really exciting new addition to New Orleans hospitality landscape. We're also opening our before I go on, I should mention that our renowned international conference on World War II will be headquartered at the Higgins Hotel this November. But also in October, our Hall of Democracy will open. Now, this will be the center for our Institute for the Study of War and Democracy, our World War II Research Services, and our Media and Education Center. So it's also really going to become nationally and internationally known as the Center for World War II Research and Education. And then just a couple of months later, we will dedicate the Bollinger Canopy of Peace, which is a soaring, dramatic architectural statement about five stories high that will span the campus and provide a shade over our parade ground. And at night, it will be have a very dramatic lighting show that will be projected on it. So all of that will be happening this fall.
And I want to tell our listeners that the National World War II Museum is the number one tourist attraction in New Orleans, isn't it?
It is. And we're also proud to share with you that TripAdvisor's Traveler's Choice Awards in 2018 named us the number three museum in the country and the number eight museum in the world.
Wow, that's very impressive. Do you remember what was ahead of you? Who do you have to catch for the next one?
Well, the Metropolitan was the number one museum in the country, and number two last year. We had been number two the previous year, but the 9/11 museum opened, and it passed us for number two, and we're proud of them. Good for them.
A personal comment. I got to see the 9/11 museum. It was very moving, so moving that I could only spend maybe an hour or so, and then I just had to leave. I had to see daylight again. Have you been
there?
Yeah. Did you have that same reaction?
I haven't seen it since the new section opened. I saw it when it was in its temporary iteration.
Yeah, it was very, very moving. Okay, the existing museum, the National World War II Museum, I know you cover both the European and Pacific theaters and do it extensively. Could you talk about that a little bit and how you covered everything so comprehensively?
Well, thank you, and we continue to do so, and of course some of those subjects have moved into the newer buildings of the museum, but we continue to update the earlier galleries and also bring in special temporary exhibitions like the Guy de Montlaur that we mentioned earlier. The most recent permanent galleries in one of the original buildings is called Arsenal of Democracy, and it covers the home front and the lead up to war and how all of the domestic factories had to turn on a dime and convert from domestic production to war production. And that's a fascinating story in and of itself, how we became, as the title indicates, the arsenal of democracy, both for our own country and for our allies.
That's for sure. And I love trains, Clem, as you know. And there is a passenger train in the museum. Tell us about that.
Well, it is a reproduction of a Pullman train car, and it has a virtual train ride experience because from coast to coast in the United States, almost every young man began his journey to war by getting on a train somewhere, whether it was to go to basic training or to go to a port city to get on a ship and head overseas. So we have created a virtual journey across America. You get on this train car, and through the magic of video projections and so forth, you look out the windows and you see 1940s America going by as you are a young soldier going off to war.
And let's talk about the submarine Tang. What's that all about?
The USS Tang was the most decorated submarine in World War II, and Final Mission recreates its last voyage in the China Sea. I don't want to give too much away, but it is a fascinating and heart-wrenching story of its last voyage of this heroic submarine. Not everybody
it's really,
makes
really
it
well
back.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to tell our listeners, it's really, really worthwhile to do that and do it more than once, too.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And we're talking with Clem Goldberger of the National World War II Museum. You're listening to Travel It Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel It Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. I know, Clem, that visiting the World War II Museum is like taking a step back in time. There's a canteen with 1940s food and a USO show with 1940s singing and costumes. The Victory Bells, yes, they're my favorite. Are they still the primary act in your dinner theater?
Well, they are one of our attractions. It's hard to say which is our prime attraction. They do appear weekly, but they are just one of the delights to be found in our stage door canteen. We offer musical comedies. Some are Broadway-type shows. Some are original that the museum has created. One of our most popular is a Louis Prima show. Louis Prima was a New Orleans original, and he went on to be very popular in Las Vegas and in all of the major entertainment cities around the United States. We have a Victory Big Band that is tremendously popular for dining and dancing. And over the summer, every summer we do something called a Sunday Swing, where we offer free swing dance lessons and then a live swing band. And we have, I've just crowds for that every single Sunday. And we also have a terrific young singer named Spencer Rocca that is a dead ringer both in appearance and voice for a young Frank Sinatra. So
wow.
His shows have become tremendously popular as well. So it's a wonderful variety, and there's something delightful every week in the Stage Door Canteen.
Clem, I'm a veteran, too, serving as a radio news broadcaster in the 340th Information Detachment, an Army Reserve unit that was exactly like Robin Williams' unit in Good Morning Vietnam, only we never went overseas. Do veterans, seniors, or students get discounted admission to the World War II Museum? You've already mentioned that a little bit.
Yes, all of the above, veterans, seniors, and students all get discounts. As I mentioned before, World War II veterans are admitted free all the time. And we also offer AAA discounts. And if individuals are in New Orleans with a convention, they just need to show their convention badge, and they are also offered a discount as well. So we love to give discounts.
And if you're lucky, you can also get a hug and a kiss from the Victory Bells, as I did, but I think that was pre-arranged. Okay. How close is the museum to the French Quarter? People want to know. And can you get there via the famous St. Charles streetcar, which was the inspiration for the streetcar named Desire?
Well, we are just one block off the St. Charles streetcar line, and that streetcar line can take you right up to the edge of the French Quarter. And then we're just a few blocks walking distance from the convention center. So anybody who is attending a convention can also walk pretty easily to the museum.
Okay, we're talking with Clem Goldberger of the National World War II Museum. Clem, your dad was a World War II veteran, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't his picture displayed in one of your exhibits?
Yes, and I am so proud of that, Dan. Dad fought in Europe. He was a forward observer in the Army with the 63rd Infantry Division. He was actually awarded a Silver Star, which is quite a high honor. And he fought along the Siegfried Line, and we do have an exhibit about the Siegfried Line, and there's a wonderful picture of my dad with three other soldiers in that exhibit, and I go visit him frequently and say hello.
Did your dad talk a lot about his wartime experiences?
I wouldn't say a lot, but perhaps more than many other returning veterans, because we've had, you know, families tell us that the veteran and their family just didn't discuss it at all. But often a visit to the museum kind of opens the floodgates, and families will tell us that, you know, dad or granddad or uncle never spoke of it until he visited the museum, and that would encourage him to begin a conversation with the family, and the family is so grateful for that to have happened.
And speaking about that, what do you have, or do you have anything on the Holocaust?
That is coming. I'm delighted to tell you. The building that I mentioned previously that we hope to be breaking ground on within the year, the Liberation Pavilion, the word liberation really refers to the liberation of the camps, but the first floor of the building will cover the Holocaust, the liberation of the camps, the closing months of the war, and then it will go on the second and third floors to bring the story of World War II forward into present day and explore what does World War II mean today? What does freedom mean to you? What would you be willing to fight for? It will be a very profound pavilion in that way, in the themes that it will explore. But it will begin on the first floor by talking about the cost of World War II, those who served, the role of faith in combat, and there will be an interfaith chapel that will be certainly can and will be used as a place where people can go and meditate. They will have just come through some very harsh subject matter, and many people will want a quiet, contemplative space. Non-denominational services might be held there, but it will also just be a place for reflection. And we hope to break ground, as I said, within the year, and with completion in 2021. And this will be the capstone exhibition building of the campus.
Okay, that sounds really, really good. You mentioned a lot of people that come to the museum, veterans especially, can't talk or haven't talked much about their wartime experiences, but a visit to the museum and seeing all the artifacts and movies and pictures really opens the floodgates. That, I think that's particularly true for Holocaust survivors. I recently attended a series of three lectures here in New Jersey at Bergen Community College, and it was very interesting to hear from the families of the Holocaust survivors, the children in particular, of what they went through. And many of them said that their parents couldn't talk about it for years and years and years, and finally something got them to talk, and they finally did.
Very interesting.
So, Clem, Clem, I want to ask you, our listeners always like to know more about their guests, so please tell us where you were born, raised, and schooled, how you got into the travel business, and how and when you joined the National World War II Museum.
I was born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is just up the road a bit from New Orleans. I went to college at Tulane University here in New Orleans, and most of my career was in advertising and marketing. And during those years, I handled a number of travel and tourism clients, and they were always among my favorite clients. And I did most of the writing on those clients myself, because I had a knack for it and I just loved it. And then when I began working in the nonprofit sector, that led me into museum world, first to the New Orleans Museum of Art, and then now almost 14 years ago to the National World War II Museum. So
that's
my journey into tourism.
Okay, really quickly, tell our listeners how they can get more information about D-Day, what you're doing to mark D-Day, and especially the National World War II Museum.
Well, the website is the key to it all, and I would say again, it is National WW2, and that's the number 2, not Roman numeral, but the regular number 2. So National WW2museum.org. And while you're on the website, sign up, register your email so that we can keep in touch with you. We will send you information, and you will become a pal of the website. And I encourage you to explore it, because it is marvelously interactive. There is so much rich information there. And since all of you are travel enthusiasts, particularly, I encourage you to explore our travel section, our educational travel.
Okay, we're running
out
of time
tours
here quickly.
Yeah.
I got to thank you, Clem Goldberger, of the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook for information about future shows. Thank you very much, listeners, and good night.